What is going on, everyone? Welcome to yet another episode of the Backyard Bullpen Podcast, where this one we have a very exciting one because this is rare. I don't often get to talk to weird arm slot guys, but we found one. We have dug through the depths and we have found Clemson's Lucas Malzdet. Lucas, how are you doing today?
Doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing great. I don't often get to talk to weird arm slot guys. We'll get into the weird arm slot piece of this in a little bit. It's going to be very this is you aren't going to get any pitches from a normal slot this podcast episode. So if that's what you're looking for, just hit skip next week, but it's going to be fun. Now, before we can talk about becoming a weird arm slot guy, before you got to this point in your life, you had to get recruited. So what was your recruiting process like?
So out of high school, played for the Scorpions organization down in Florida, and I was on the B team, I believe, all the way up until my junior year, and that's kind of when I made the switch to Submarine. And luckily, my high school head coach was also one of the head coaches of the A team, and he just liked how I threw Submarine, and he put me on that team, and I got a lot of looks with that, and that's kind of how I got recruited. So,
Yeah, so was there like a specific game or specific outing where it kind of happened for you? Like for me, I went to showcase at App State, and that was the only way I got noticed. So I know it's hard as a weird arm slot guy, but would you say you had any difficulty finding a place?
I mean, I'd say it was a little bit of difficulty. I had a couple options, but not too many. I didn't go to any showcases. That was one thing. I went to a few college showcases, but I never went to like the perfect game ones or anything like that. So it was mostly just kind of playing summer ball and or travel ball and organizations, all that stuff. And I was able to just, I guess it wasn't necessarily one game, but I kind of just put up some good stats throughout a couple games. So I think that helped.
Yeah, I feel like that's one of the drawbacks of being a weird arm slot guy. Like, if you have one really good game, everyone will just go, oh, it's just a fluke. Like, it could never be, oh, he's actually just that good,
I get that.
which it's you fall into the trap of people going, oh, it's a gimmick. Like, yeah, he'll get outs one time through the lineup. But then it's like, okay, second time through, we're still grounding out to shortstop. What's going on here? We might just, be good at baseball. Now, going through after high school, you go to Wofford for your first 2 years. So what was your time at Wofford like?
So I actually really enjoyed my time at Wofford. It was a smaller school, lot less people. And I think that's what made it great. Just the environment. Everybody knew everyone. The academics were really good. But from the baseball side of it, freshman year, we had a really tight-knit group. I didn't have necessarily the season I wanted, but I got a lot of opportunities and just got a lot of experience from that. And I carried that into sophomore year, and I think that's just kind of where I had my breakout, where I already had the outings where I could learn from in the last season, so I kind of just used that, propelled throughout the summer, fall, and used that in the sophomore spring. So
Certainly. And then after your sophomore year, you have an incredible sophomore year. I believe you had 27 appearances, which is absolutely insane out of like what, 60 games? You're throwing in about half of them. And
about 6 games.
so kind of walk us through what arm care do you do that allows you to just kind of bounce back? Or is it true like you're one of the submariners where it's like, no, I actually do have the rubber arm that everyone advertises? I know me personally, every coach I had was like, oh, you're a submariner. You can go out there and throw every day. I was like, not really. It hurts, but whatever.
I'd say it's a bit of both. I guess the good thing about pitching submarine is I don't necessarily get sore in the arm so much. It's more so like a full body movement. And so I get more sore in like my back and my lats, which I'd much rather be sore there than be sore in like the elbow or the shoulder or just stuff like that. And another good thing is one of the reasons why I switched to throwing submarine is because I didn't throw very hard. So not being able to throw extremely hard is definitely a plus there. It also doesn't feel like I'm, a max effort thrower either. But I'd say just some recovery stuff I do is just revolves around stretching the lats, keeping the arm going, I guess, getting out that lactic acid. I love using the bike. I think the bike's a very good tool. So just stuff like that. It's not as extensive as some other guys, but when you throw, twice a weekend, and if especially if you throw at the end of games, you don't have a whole lot of time to get that in. So.
Yeah, I remember at UMBC, I used to bike a lot when I was there. UVA was a lot more running, but after every outing, you could find me in our student rec center because our gym wasn't that fancy, watching Scooby-Doo and hitting the bike. So great call there. Now, you talked about you dropped down because you weren't necessarily making noise over top. How hard were you throwing?
So I dropped down at the end of my or at the beginning of my junior I guess it would be fall. So I would have two more seasons left in high school. And I think I was throwing maybe 81, 82 over top. It wasn't very big. It was probably like 160 pounds, 155 pounds. So just really like kind of lanky, skinny guy. And then one of my coaches kind of suggested, maybe making the change because he always said, like, I feel like we need to find something in you that like makes you unique. And that was it, just making that switch. And I always threw from like a lower arm slot because I played like middle infield, third base growing up. So I feel like that was a lot. It wasn't a huge transition in that case.
Yeah, but hey, you're looking to get unique. This is the way to do it, I'm telling you. Now, when you dropped down, was the velocity similar or was it like a little less? Because I know a lot of people have different experiences when it comes to that.
Yeah, it was a little less. I'd say it's about 3 to 4 takes down. So I was probably, I want to say my junior year, 76 to 80 maybe. And then senior year, I think I was 80 to 83. And I just kind of kept progressing forward. And I think the crazy thing is now I've actually started experimenting with both arm slots. And in doing so, that same kind of velo distance is still there. Like I'll throw a couple of ticks harder from up top and then a little bit less submarine, but there's so much more movement on that. So.
Yeah, no, you got to keep it interesting, mixing it up. And I love the mixing the arm slots. There's nothing better than like getting a guy 0-2 from down low and then going, okay, I'm going to try to blow the doors off with a fastball over the top here just as hard as I can. I never, executed that plan, but the thought of the plan was really cool.
I think just doing that, it gives you so much more. You're just able to get that huge strikeout because sometimes when you're in a spot throwing submarine and you're facing like a lefty, and it's already been like a 4 to 5 pitcher at bat, they've seen your 2 to 3 pitches already, and just being able to come over top and mix in a couple different pitches just throws them completely off guard. So.
Yeah, and especially I know everyone, the conversation with submariners is like, oh, they struggle against lefties because the way the ball rate kind of goes with the bat. I remember I actually, when I was facing Caden Grice, he fell off like seven pitches, and then I just threw it was a bit of a meatball, but it came from the over the top slot and he hit it 1,000 feet straight up. I was very, very lucky. It could have gone a long way. Now, was there a particular weird arm slot guy, like when you were making the transition, that you would like try to emulate or kind of watch videos of to try to, just because I feel like coaching wise, there's not a lot of guys who know about it or who know about it well enough to kind of educate.
Yeah, I feel like the one guy everyone says it is Tyler Rogers from the Giants. Now I'm not nearly as low as him, but there wasn't a whole lot. I'd say that he was definitely the biggest influence. Trying to throw like a rising slider, occasionally with that. But in that regards, I feel like there isn't a whole lot of direction for that stuff, for throwing submarine. There's a couple thrown sidearm, but that's why I created that social media account, Sub University,
Yeah.
just to kind of give some younger guys who are trying to be unique and all that just some direction.
That works perfect because I was about to ask you. I actually even have it in the notes. Getting a little deeper here.
Perfect.
You're on an Instagram account called SubEU. What, where you give tips, you give drills and kind of how to do it for the younger generation. So kind of what all went into making that Instagram account?
Yeah, so I think we were playing our series against Wake Forest, and for some reason I woke up the next day and I was like, you know what? I want to do this. And I was thinking, what should I call it? And I wanted to do it based on like doing like a school. And I've always heard like, because when I was at Wofford, we had it was me and two other submarine guys, and we'd always call ourselves SubEU. So I kind of took the name off that and just kind of created it. I started off kind of almost doing it as like a satire thing, you know, kind of doing it, just kind of almost making fun of my arm slot and just doing funny things with it. But I feel like so many people just started buying into it and learning from it. And I feel like I took it more in a direction where I could cater to younger athletes.
Yeah, I remember when I stumbled on the page, the first video I saw was, "Why did you drop down to submarine?" And the caption goes, "Because I threw slow." And I was like, yeah, honestly, couldn't relate more. Like, I threw 83 in high school, and I was like, all right, we got to do something different here because that's not what people are signing with these days. Now, the page is definitely doing well. It actually popped up on my wife's For You page the other day, and she was like, hey,
Perfect,
do you know
perfect.
about this? And I was like, yeah, I've been familiar with the game. Now, you talked about the Tyler Rogers rising slider too, which is something I want to dig a little deeper on as well. Have you ever executed that pitch? Because I feel like as a submariner, kind of towards the end of my career was when he became really popular. And I was like, okay, that's all I'm going to try to do now.
Yeah, I feel like every submarine guy tries it at one time, at one point. I actually threw it, and I didn't really throw it last season, but I was kind of had it in the back of my mind. And going in the fall when I wanted to mix, or going in the summer when I wanted to mix arm slots, I just wanted to try a bunch of things. You know, I'm going on my last year of college. I just want to try, see what I can come up with. And I actually use it in the summer. It was my out pitch. It was really good, especially against lefties, because it just looks like it's coming up off the ground. All of a sudden, it just shoots up. So that was a huge thing. I didn't throw it a whole lot in the fall, but I'd say in the spring, it's definitely in my back pocket. I feel like throwing from the different arm, other arm slot is kind of taken over a little bit, but it's still definitely back there.
Yeah, my biggest piece of advice was I wasn't that low of a weird arm slot guy, so I feel like that's where I probably struggled with it. But if you do it from parallel to the ground instead of like, you know, true submarine, it ends up being the worst pitch I've ever thrown in my life. So I do not recommend it from this slot. I don't know what I was thinking. It got sent to the moon. But that'll happen. You know, it happens from time to time. Now, I saw another post you had on SubEU. It was a bunch of screenshots of guys DMing you asking how to throw submarine and things like that. Do you get asked that like all the time?
I have a I actually the other day I started going through my DMs. I put a little story thing and said answering DMs, because I At first, I was at, like able to keep up with them, and then throughout the years, because people would send me videos and like mechanical tips and all that, and it just got kind of crazy, especially with school and baseball and all that stuff. So I kind of took a break, but I've been trying to go back and do those. And yeah, that's definitely one of the biggest questions that I get asked is how should I start throwing submarine, or what should I do? What tips do you have for me? And some of the times I'll just say, you know, follow this page. I have plenty of like a lot of guys would ask me, you know, what's your slider grip, all that stuff, but I've made videos on it. So there's that thing. I think the biggest question I get asked though is how do you gain velocity for throwing submarine? And there's not like a single outright way to do it. I always just tell guys, like, I mean, I've been doing it for 6 years now. You're gonna get more comfortable with your arms, like you're gonna get more confident, and you're just gonna get more fluid. And I think that's the easiest way to do it, even though it takes the longest. But that's definitely the biggest question I get asked is how do you throw harder from that slot?
Yeah, and it's kind of weird because it's like, do I do weighted balls from this slot? Like, do I do my band drills from this slot? Like, do you have a weighted ball program you follow or
I
anything of
do
that
not do any
nature?
plyos. A lot of guys ask me if I have a plyo, like release your plyo program. I don't do them strictly because I never really was exposed to it. I know a couple of my teammates did in high school, but I never did. And then when I got into college, I just never really picked it up. I feel like I had a routine that like I could succeed from my pre-thrown routine, and plyo just wasn't in that, and that's why I feel. Now I'm not opposed to them. I know some guys do them, and I don't think they're fine. Like I think if you were to do them, just do the lighter ones if you're
I'm
gonna
with
throw.
you. I struggled enough throwing the 5 ounce ball from that slot. So, I wasn't trying to mix it up and throw a heavy ball or anything of that nature. Now, what's your catch play routine like? Because I know weird arm slot guys, I would say they probably have the strangest catch play routines from what I've seen.
So that's another question I get asked is, do I throw submarine the whole time? So when I go out, if I'm on a long toss, I throw from my normal arm slot. Simply I always wanted to have that arm slot. Now I'm doing it in game as well. But I always had that arm slot because, I do my pickoff moves from it, my PFPs from it, all that stuff. So I basically go out, throw them from my normal arm slot, long toss. And then when I come back in about 90 feet, I'll start dropping down very slowly. Probably takes me like five pitches to kind of drop down. And then I'll, start doing my pitches and all that. Occasionally I'll do some pull downs from both arm slots. I think the big thing for me is I think throwing from the higher arm slot has helped my lower slot, and throwing from the lower slot has also helped my higher slot. It's kind of weird. They've kind of played off each other, but
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's just like, look, the mechanism is getting stronger, even if it's getting used a little bit differently. And now, talking about velo too, I feel like gaining velo as a weird arm slot guy is next to impossible, aside from what you said of just doing it and getting very comfortable in these weird and awkward positions. I tried my first 3 years of college, or however many you want to say, tried eating as much as I could, gaining as much weight as I could. That didn't matter. Still through the same exact speed. Then I got in really good shape, or my version of good shape, which still isn't good shape. Still didn't throw hard. So it was one of those things where it was just like, the more you do it, and the more your body's like, oh, this is a normal position for me to be in. Sure, my back might hurt tomorrow, but today we're gonna let it rip. And I feel like that's really when. I didn't have a ton of velo, but that's when my version of a velo jump happened. Now, another thing you guys had happen this fall that was really cool was the Savannah Bananas came to town and y'all played against them. What was that experience like for you as a player, where it's like, okay, I'm going to college to play college baseball. Okay, the Bananas are in town and we're playing them now.
Yeah, that was a really fun time, purely because it wasn't about, winning or losing there. We were all just trying to have fun and just give a good experience to the fans, all the fans who kind of came out. I mean, we had just about the same amount of fans coming for that game than we did the Super Regional, so it was just a lot of fun, and I wasn't pitching that day. We had a series against, or a doubleheader against Alabama that weekend, and we played against the Bananas Thursday. So we were all, whoever wasn't playing that day was just full-time dancers or entertainers that day. And I'm not a huge dancer. I know I might move well like on the baseball field, but I wouldn't say can dance very well. But it was definitely a different environment, and it was cool to kind of see that and just kind of have fun playing the game again, almost like you're playing it as a kid, without all the outside noise, without, performing well, or we're just worrying about all that other stuff. But simply just going out there and having fun.
Yeah, and I think that takes it back to kind of the roots of what baseball is all about, is having a good time and, entertaining people in the process. So that was definitely a fun one to tune into. I watched it on YouTube. I couldn't make it up there, but it just looked like pure anarchy for what, 2 hours straight?
Yeah, it was really fast paced. Everything, there wasn't a single time where the crowd wasn't entertained. It was just super fast paced. It was just fun to do. So
Now, did you have a favorite moment during the game or a favorite thought looking back
there
at
were
it
a lot of
afterwards?
them. The first one that hit my mind just then was when we made our first trick play and we all had to go rush in the outfield and dogpile them. They completely stopped the game. That was fun, and we ran around the outfield. That was cool. A couple of the walk-ups were cool. Jay Dillard riding in on a horse. I'd say honestly, one of the coolest moments was one of the I think one of the guys from the firefighters hit a bomb off one of our players, and it was pretty funny and electric. But that was a cool moment.
It's a rare moment where you see one of your friends give up a home run and you're like, that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. All
Yeah,
right,
it was
fine.
like a walk off. Yeah, they walked off the inning. I think it was the first inning or maybe the second inning, but it was cool.
Yeah, I think I remember I saw the dude do like a backwards handspring to home plate, and I was like, oh, okay, all right, look, save some athleticism for the rest of us because I'm out here tripping on my shoelaces.
Yeah, no, they were doing all sorts of different acrobatic stuff. We were trying to do that as well. We had practice, and in our practice I wish we got like a banana style PFP session. That would have been cool. Like
Just
the
a little bit of,
infielders all got all the fun.
yeah. And honestly, as a weird arm slot guy, you can make some sick plays because it's like, oh, I gotta throw this one from position. You mean do what I do every day? Sure, no problem.
I tried a couple trick pitches in pregame, but I knew I wasn't going in the game, so I couldn't use them. But it was
Just
cool to
happen.
just yeah, it was cool to just do just like have fun again, and just trying different things without any consequences. So
Yeah, and I feel like Coach Bakich, he seems like a very intense guy. Like just looking at him on paper, it's like, okay, no nonsense guy. And then he gets in these situations, it's like he seems like one of the coolest dudes ever. Like before the game, I know he ripped his shirt off for the weigh-in. Like, first of all, if he tells me to run, I'd probably be scared of him if he were my college coach. Just being straight up honest. I remember last fall there were clips of him hitting fungos with a random tree branch he found in the woods. What is playing for Coach Bakich like?
I was gonna say it's very similar to Savannah Bananas game. It's like you're playing to have fun again, and that's what the mindset he's trying to instill in us is just go out and have fun. Just go for take the chance. If you fail, so what? Doesn't matter. What's the worst that could happen? And that's the best thing about playing with for Coach Bakich is just going out having fun with all your teammates, just like you're in the backyard playing catch with all your friends.
Yeah, it definitely see like, because again, I see that video of him and I'm like, okay, he's jacked, he's scary, he knows what he's doing. He's an intense man. We watched him last June in super regionals getting really fired up and getting ejected from a game or two happens. And it's like, okay, that guy's intense. And then you see him with the Savannah Bananas game, and it's like he's having more fun than all of the players combined. And players are still having a ton of fun too. So he seems like a really fun dude to be around.
Yeah, he eats that stuff up. The Savannah Bananas game, that was perfect for him. Perfect.
Yeah, it seemed to work out well. I know next, or I think it's this summer, they're coming to play in the football stadium at Clemson, which seems absolutely insane. But is that something you all will be? No, you probably won't be able to
I don't
go
think
to
so.
that
I
or.
have to look at the date and whether we'll be traveling or whatnot. I mean, maybe if we are in town, we might make an appearance, but they're not going to be, I don't believe they'll be playing us.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know how you play baseball on a football field, but if there's someone who can figure it out, it's probably them.
Yeah, definitely. They've played in a lot of crazy stadiums, a lot of crazy environment, so I'm sure that they'll figure it out.
Now, shifting gears here a little, playing at Wofford and now playing at Clemson, you've gotten to travel a good amount of the nation playing baseball. Do you have a favorite stadium you played at?
I mean, besides our own, yeah, there's been some cool places. When I was at Wofford, DBU was pretty cool.
Yeah.
We also played at Wake, played a game at Tennessee. I'd say from Clemson, just trying to think of different places. I know this year we're supposed to go to Cal.
Little
So I've
ACC
never been, yeah, I've
matchup.
never, I mean, I've been to Vegas, but I've never been to California or any of that part. So I think going over there is going to be really cool. We're also playing at Globe Life to start off the year.
Yeah.
So we're in that tournament. So that's probably going to take the top spot. Yeah, but going off this year, I'd say Georgia Tech was pretty cool with the Atlanta skyline in the background. That was a cool environment too.
Yeah, did you have the opportunity to touch the grass at Georgia Tech? Because it is the softest grass I've ever
Yes, I did.
experienced.
Yeah,
Like,
it was awesome playing there. We played there when I was at Wofford. It was a midweek game. I believe we won that game. But it was a that was a cool experience playing there. I think that was one of our first Power Five games, if I'm not mistaken. We played a lot my sophomore year against the Power Five teams. Now it's different going being at Clemson. Now you're playing them almost every
yeah.
weekend. But it was cool playing at Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I'm with you. I love the backdrop. I feel like as a hitter, I would strike out every time because I'd just be looking at a different building each time because it's so cool down there. Now, do you have a favorite pitch to throw? You don't have to give us a scouting report like, hey, when you're facing me, you're gonna see this. But like for me, I love the backdoor fastball to a righty, which is a weird sentence, but as a weird arm slot guy, sometimes you could execute it. I rarely did, but when I did, it was very fun.
Yeah, I feel like for the scouting report, I feel like starting some university is probably already out there, but I mean that's just how it is now. Everybody knows everybody. But my favorite pitch, I'd say definitely just my normal slider. I feel like it's one of the most unique pitches to throw, just simply because it's almost pure horizontal. It does have some induce, does kind of break up a little bit, and that's just simply because of my release height. But I feel like that's just one of the most abnormal pitches, and you could say the rising slider, but I just haven't thrown it that much. But yeah, definitely the normal slider is my most favorite.
I'm with you. A well-executed slider is truly a thing of beauty, especially from that slot, because like the way you finish when you throw from down low, you get a pretty good view of ball flight, opposed to like a regular arm slot guy, like their head's down, they're looking at dirt. Us, it's like, okay, we're standing up right now. We're also ready to field, no biggie, just athletes at it.
Yeah, it's not like we're completely ripping the pitches and we're kind of tucking our head or anything. I'm able to see the ball flight the whole time. So that's, yeah, and you kind of see the ball break. But yeah, throwing a slider is definitely cool. You kind of just are able to flick it in there every once in a while. And my favorite thing is when, a right-hand hitter, they just don't know what to do with it. They just let it go by.
Yeah,
So.
it's like okay, that was a fun one for me. Now, another thing branching off of Sub U a little bit. I saw a page pop up in December, Sub U Golf. What do we got going on there? What's your golf game like?
So I actually originally started at SW Plus because I wanted to do like just some other things because I felt like SW University, it's almost strictly baseball. I'm catering baseball to, younger athletes, whatnot. And I actually put out a poll yesterday. I was like, would y'all like to see more golf content? And it was like 50-50 yes or no. I was like, oh, maybe I should post my golf content on there. I'm not a great golfer either. I've only been playing for about 4 months, but I actually played yesterday and made some insane chip from like 50 yards. And it was
Really?
one of the things. And got it on film too. Yeah. It'll be a video. I'll post it on SW Golf probably today. Yeah, I mean, I'd say I'd probably shoot mid 90s. Nothing crazy. I'm pretty, a lot of my teammates are a lot better than I am. So, kind of taking after them. But it's just fun to get out there. It's kind of a new hobby that I've gotten into. And it's just something where you can go out and, get away from the baseball, the academics, all that. So.
Yeah, mid 90s, 6 months in is pretty good. Pretty good. I would definitely take that. And the chip in, like those are the things that keep me coming back to golf between my
They bring you
120
back.
shots. You know, it's like you have a few bad shots. Like you probably don't even think about, I don't know how many bad shots you hit, probably not too many, but they probably don't even come to mind. It's just remember that chip in. That was nice. That was really good stuff.
Yeah, that's probably the best shot I've hit today, so.
Now, is there a part of your golf game that you would say is your best part of the game? Like, is it driving, chipping, putting, or?
I'd say it used to be my driver. I used to be able to hit it really straight. Then I went to Topgolf, and for some reason I'm just slicing everything now. Yesterday I hit a couple straight, but I'd say my best part of the game is my 3-wood, hitting that either off the tee box or on the fairway most consistent. I don't hit it. I can almost control it between like almost 140 yards to 200. So
That's not bad.
I'm almost like I'll maybe play 8 or 9 iron, 9 iron every once in a while. But besides that, any of the low irons, I'm not able to hit. I'm just strictly
I
3-wood.
love that because most people, like I struggle hitting the 3 wood off the fairway. Like, just can't get the elevation for it. I struggle with a lot in golf, if I'm being honest with you. That's the least of my concerns. But that's very
It's something
interesting
new
that it's
every
like,
time. It's always a different experience every time.
which makes it, you know, that's what keeps us coming back. That's what keeps it fun. Now, last question before I let you get back to your life. What makes you happiest?
What makes me happiest? I think just coming out and doing what I do every day. I'm at a really prestigious university. I get to play baseball here. Get to hang out with, great teammates, great coaches, just surrounded by huge role models in my life. I think that's simply just what makes me happy. Is just having the experience that I've had, having the life that I had or that I have right now. Just being able to come out every day, playing baseball. We actually, this is kind of going off on tangent a little bit, but we have doing our perspective posters right now, for baseball, and we basically just put up a lot of different pictures, of ways to show our perspective. And I think one of the biggest things that all of us have on there is just the stuff that we do with Clemson baseball. And we do so much community service. We have Thursgivings, and every Thursday we come out and we'll basically give back to the community. We'll either, go to elementary schools, read to children, go to nursing homes, hang out with senior citizens, just talk with them. We'll host the Clemson Life students or the Screaming Eagles, who are a group of organizations that have kids, young adults who have, rare disabilities and simply just can't play the game. And I think just being able to come out there with them and seeing the smile on their faces every time that they get to practice with us one day, and that's one of the most important things in their life, is coming out and almost being in our shoes for a day, and if that brings them that much joy, just being in our shoes for one day, then that's what makes us happy for, having the life that we have, having everything we have, so.
Yeah, that'll definitely put it in good perspective. Like, they got one day of it. I get to wake up, wash, rinse, and repeat, do it again tomorrow. Now, I know I said last question, but are you participating when we're reading books? What book do you go for? What's the go-to book to read to children?
Go-to book.
I was a
They
big Green Eggs and
read something.
Ham.
It's they, I think the most recent one I did, it was on a koala on a tree. They hand us whatever book we read, and
Oh,
sometimes
so it's
it's
not
kind of,
dealer's choice.
no, it's not dealer's choice. I think it was some koala on a tree, and I guess he had to find another home on another tree or something like that. I don't know.
You were just focused on
But they
executing.
loved it. So yeah, I was just focusing on trying to read correctly and hope I don't stutter, but
Because the pressure of, you know, reading in front of the little kids, not too high, but having your teammates there, any sort of, you know, stutter and anything,
Yeah, anything.
they'll pick you to
They'll
shreds.
let you know. So.
Which that's one of the best things about it. You know, you got to keep each other honest, keep each other accountable. Well, Lucas, thank you so much for taking the time. It's been great to learn not only about throwing weird, but also more about Clemson baseball. I had no idea about the Thursgivings. I had seen a ton of community service posts, but I didn't realize it was like a scheduled thing. That's something that's super cool. I'm all in on that. So thank you for, growing my fandom for the Clemson Tigers.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure and great talking with you.
Of course.